Hello friends, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you once again to stay tuned for Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. Glad that you're with us today. We're in an exciting study from the Word of God. Amen. And I just pray that your soul will be enriched, that you will receive from the Word of God that the Holy Spirit wants you to hear today, and that you will take it to heart so that God can multiply it. You know, the Bible said of itself, of the Word of God itself, through the words of Jesus Christ, that if this seed of the Word falls on the good ground of a willing heart and an obedient heart and a faithful heart, it will bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. This is mighty, wonderful, powerful change by the Spirit of God that occurs in our life. So the potential of what's about to occur right now is so great in your life. Pray that you will take time from the busyness of your life as we gather around God's Word today to discuss the subject, getting ready to receive the awesome power of answered prayer. The awesome power of answered prayer. And the deliberate focus of this study is to remove those barriers to blessings, those things in our heart and our life that are in the way of God coming through, of God answering our prayers. Praise God. So we just want to see the Lord glorified through the answers of prayer. Every time prayers are answered and we give testimony to those answered prayers, God is glorified. In fact, the testimony was given, who has a God like our God in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, a God so nigh us in all that we call upon Him for. God's nearness to them, God's faithfulness to them in the Old Covenant economy was revealed in the way that their prayers were answered. Praise God. And in the New Covenant, once again, when prayer is answered, God is glorified. It's a win-win for us and for our Savior. Praise God. We get the help and deliverance and healing that we need, and God gets the glory when the prayers are answered. So friends, this study today is filled, as we said in the onset, with great power and great potential as we gather around the Word of God. Now I want to say this about answered prayer. I don't want to ever apologize for the promises that God has made in His Word. I don't want to try to explain away, as many are doing in these days, amen, why God isn't answering. I want to find definite reasons why prayers can't be answered so that prayers can and will be answered. Because God is the one that challenges us to pray and trust Him and believe Him. He says these wonderful things with such clarity. Amen. Psalm 50 and 15 is a good example. He said, if you'll bring thanksgiving with your offerings and your sacrifices and your religious worship, if you will bring a heart filled with gratitude, and then you can call upon me in the time of trouble, I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. Jeremiah 33:3 is similar. It says, and call upon me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. You will see and experience God's answers to prayer, God's mighty movings in your behalf to keep His promises to His covenant people. Praise God. I didn't come here today to debate this issue. I came to declare the Word of God plain and simple. God backs up His Word. Hallelujah. When we are able to apply His Word by faith to our life and our circumstance. So I'm so excited today about the prospect of God's people calling upon the Lord and God moving by His Spirit in our hearts and our lives and demonstrating and displaying His power and His love to a gainsaying world. Praise God. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to read our text again on this subject, the awesome power of answered prayer. In James 5 and verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. For the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we talked about in this series so far, sin itself and all the rest of the things come under this umbrella. If we get rid of what God calls sinful circumstances and attitudes and behaviors in our heart and in our life, it opens the door for God's answers to prayer. Amen. Sin is a separator. Amen. And the cross and the blood of Jesus, through our repentance and faith toward Him, is the answer. Idols in the heart is something that we found that God says we've got to remove them. Amen. If we will put the kingdom first and put God first in everything. Amen. He said all these things that we need will be added to us. Selfishness. You have not because you ask not, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss to consume it on yourself. We talked last week about selfishness. This week, we're going to continue to talk about these barriers to answered prayer that God wants to help us with and help us overcome and open the doors and the floodgates of heaven. Praise God. And this is stubbornness, which is the root of all disobedience, stubbornness of heart. I'm going to read from the book of Jeremiah and several scriptures at one time. If you want to jot these down, Jeremiah 7, 16 through 26 and 11, chapter 11 and verse 7 through 17 and verse chapter 13, verse 8 through 11 and chapter 14, 11 through 16. I'm going to just take some scripture for time's sake and condense them and just read from these various scriptures and relating scriptures. See, before the Babylonian captivity, God gave one last opportunity to the people to turn away from their stubbornness of heart. When they refused, God spoke these words to them. Listen to what He said in the book of Jeremiah. "As for you, do not pray for this people, or lift up a cry or prayer for them, and do not intercede with me, for I do not hear you. Do you not see what they are doing in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? But this command I gave them, obey my voice, and I'll be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in the way that I command you, that it might be well with you. But they did not obey nor incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and the stubbornness of their own evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. From the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt to this day, I have persistently sent all my servants the prophets to them day after day, and they did not listen to me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers." Ah, friend, intrinsic to our fallen nature, our flesh, if you please, there is a stubbornness. David talked about it in that great psalm, thanking God for His forgiveness in his life. And when he humbled himself and he repented, and he said in Psalm 32 and verse 1, "Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered." He said, when I held my peace, you see, the flesh is stubborn and prideful. And when he held his peace, when he kept it in, when he didn't get right with God, he said, my bones waxed old with roaring all the day long. He couldn't have peace until he confessed his sin and knew that it was forgiven and he was reconciled unto God. There is a stubbornness in man. It took David a while because there is a prideful stubbornness intrinsic to our flesh. That's why the Bible said if you're going to follow Christ, if you're going to be his disciple, it starts with denying that part of our fallen nature, denying ourself, that old self that has not been renewed. Amen. We're renewed in our spirit. We're being renewed in our mind, but the flesh cannot be renewed. The flesh has to be put to death in the sense that we do not allow it to rule and to reign in our life. In fact, we are to reckon ourselves or count ourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're not a debtor, the Bible said, to the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We don't owe our old flesh anything, but we owe Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father everything. See, stubbornness of heart is the refusal to respond to God's persistent warnings and wise counsel. The Hebrew word for that means twisted, firmness, obstinance, stubbornness. The result of stubbornness of heart is going backward and never forward in God's plans and purposes for our lives. So David said in the great Psalm 32, blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. He goes down a little bit further and says, when I held my peace, my bones waxed old with roaring all day long. And then he makes this statement in that same psalm, be not as the ox or the mule. You can see the stubborn nature of these beasts. Be not as the ox or the mule that has to be turned about by the bit and bridle, lest they turn and rend you. Unless, instead of cooperating with their master, they actually turn against and do despite all that their master wills them to do. Don't be so stubborn and prideful that God cannot give you counsel, that God cannot speak to you today. Amen. Don't be like these beasts with the stubborn attitude that the only way to get them to do what they should be doing and what is willed by the master for them to do is to be turned them about with the bit and the bridle. The bit and the bridle cause pain and pressure to get them to turn and go in the right way. After a while, they learn if they'll go in the right way, then that pain and pressure will not become. They'll feel a little tug and they'll just go in the right direction. Is there pain and pressure in our life today because of stubbornness? Oh, what a relief it is, the commercial said. When you really surrender to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, amen, and ask him to help you with your weak flesh and that intrinsic stubbornness that is just built into it. See, that's why the Bible said you can't follow him unless you begin with the right attitude. Deny yourself. And then take up your cross. And then you can follow Jesus Christ. But you can't let that old self rule and reign any longer. Because there is a stubbornness just built into it. Heard the story of the little boy that was acting up in class. And so she told him, Johnny, I want you to go stand in the corner and put your nose right up to the wall and don't you say a word and don't you move until this class is over, because he was interrupting the teaching. And as Johnny got up and he walked to the wall, put his nose against the wall, the teacher heard him say under his breath, I'm standing up on the outside, but I'm sitting down on the inside. In other words, I'm doing what you're making me do, but inside, I'm still full of that stubbornness. Listen, friend, when we yield ourselves in humility and repentance before the Lord, amen, and we override and overrule that intrinsic stubbornness of our flesh, we are able to take up our cross and follow Jesus and find joy in the journey. Oh, what a relief it is. Amen. David was so relieved when all of that inner turmoil and all of that tension between him and God, amen, was removed through repentance, and the peace of God and the joy of restored fellowship came back to David. David cried unto the Lord concerning this attitude of heart that brought these wrong activities in his life in the great Psalm 51, a psalm of repentance. And he said, "Wash me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me, and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." This is not salvation in the sense of getting saved in the New Testament. This is a word in the Hebrew that meant God's deliverance. God can now answer David's prayer for help. God can now deliver David. God, when Israel got right with him, could begin to answer their prayers and deliver them from the circumstances of life, from the enemies that came to destroy them. And when these barriers to blessing, these barriers to answered prayer are removed, then God can open the windows of heaven, pour us out a blessing that there shall not be room enough for us to contain it as we obey him, just like he promised in his word. Praise the Lord. Amen. I like Deuteronomy 28 because it gives us the opportunity to make a choice in this matter. Amen. In the way that we listen to God, if we're not stubborn, if we have a grateful heart and an obedient heart, it opens the door for God's blessings. Here's what he said to ancient Israel, and it goes for us today. In Deuteronomy 28 in verse 1, he said, he speaks about this attitude and an atmosphere of obedience in the heart that's being applied to the life. And he said, "If any man will hearken diligently unto my voice to observe and to do all I command you this day," amen, hallelujah, he said, "these blessings will come on you and they will overtake you." Doesn't matter where you are, they will find you. They will seek you. Praise God. Amen. You'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the field. Amen. You'll be blessed when you go in and blessed when you go out. Blessed will be the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy ground and the cattle in thy stalls. And it just goes on and on and on and on. But there's a flip side to this. It also says, "But if you hearken not to the voice of the Lord your God," we're not talking about sinless perfection. We're talking about a hard attitude. Every one of us struggles in this area of obedience because the spirit, as willing as our reborn spirit is, the flesh is weak. And it will never conform. It will have to be subdued. It will not be subjected, amen, to God's will. We have to subdue it and let our spirit man begin to rule and to reign. And let our mind be renewed, hallelujah, that we be not conformed to the world because of our weak flesh, but we be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove or exemplify what is that good and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Good, acceptable, and perfect will. Praise God. Oh, how God wants to help his people. And oh, how he is glorified when we receive help from his wonderful, mighty hand today. Amen. Stubbornness, the Bible said, is in every child that's born of man and woman's uniting in this fallen world. Stubbornness is bound into the heart of a child. We're born with that nature. Every one of us, as cute, pretty, beautiful, wonderful as little children are, hand them a little toy that they're reaching for, and then grab it away, and you'll see it coming out. Amen. You'll see something that is intrinsic inside every person that is born into this fallen world. That's why we all must be born again, and a brand new nature is imparted to us. Here's how God talked about the new covenant and the change that would be made. He said, I'm going to take away the heart of stone, and I'm going to replace it with a heart of flesh. I'm going to take away that stony, hardened heart that is so full of pride and stubbornness. I'm going to replace it with a humble heart that has a desire to obey me. You'll struggle with it. I will struggle with obedience. Everyone struggles with obedience. Paul wanted to obey, but he said, I don't find within me that I need to obey. But he found in Christ, amen, everything that he needed to help him overcome the weaknesses, the stubbornness, the pride intrinsic to the flesh. Oh, friend of mine, God loves you today. He understands you like no one understands you. And he can help you and help me. And he's been helping me for years. and I need his help as bad today as I needed him when I first got saved. My flesh and your flesh is stubborn and prideful and willful. But my spirit is willing and humble and wanting to follow God and serve God. And I'm telling you today, you can follow him. You can serve him. He will help you to overcome. But we have to recognize where the real problem is and say, Lord, I don't want this prideful, stubborn attitude in me. I want to be a humble follower, dedicated follower of Jesus Christ. I don't want my flesh to rule me and Satan to gain an advantage because of that door he has into my life. I want to be led of the Holy Spirit. I want the Word of God to be a lamp to my feet, a light to my pathway. And I want the Spirit of God to empower me with the strength to begin to live this life victoriously. Praise God. Amen. We'll battle between flesh and spirit until Christ comes. But viva la battle. The struggle proves that a new nature exists, and there's now a conflict between the flesh and spirit, and this battle can be won in the name of Jesus Christ. He will help us, all of heaven's resources. The Holy Spirit, God the Father, will line up behind us when we determine we do not want to walk in selfish, prideful stubbornness any longer. The Bible said stubbornness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from him. Amen. And you know what it says about us? Every one of us, we don't lose that stubbornness when we mature. We don't suddenly become humble and obedient and teachable and trainable people. We carry that stubbornness with us into our adult life and even into our Christian life. If we don't deal with the flesh, that stubbornness exists. And that stubbornness cost Israel and cost so many people so very, very much in terms of blessing. Amen. As long as that stubbornness exists, amen. God said to ancient Israel, you can't pray for blessing. You can't pray for this people while they're unrepentant. You can pray that they repent, but you can't pray for blessings upon them. You can't pray for help in the time of trouble unless they are willing to turn from their wicked way. See, these are keys to answered prayer. If my people, the scripture teaches, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. Is this just a faith issue? Is this just about believing God, claiming the promise, standing on the word? No. Listen carefully. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way. I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. Praise God. Amen. Oh, friend, I say it so many times. I'm saying it again today. There's nothing wrong with getting right with God. I'm going to say that again. There's nothing wrong with getting right with God. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? He said, get right with me in your heart. Get right with me in your life and call upon me. Then you can pray and I will hear. You can pray and I will answer. Praise God. Call upon me in the time of trouble. I will deliver you. Psalm 50:15, and thou shalt glorify me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. David said, restore to me in Psalm 51 the joy of your salvation, the joy of your deliverance, the joy of answered prayer, the joy of when I cry to you that you respond to me. And he said, when this occurs, when I repent and get right with you in my own heart and my own attitude and my own behavior, he said, then sinners will be converted unto you and transgressors will learn your ways. Hallelujah. When they see this in me and what you delivered me from and how you restored me, amen, they will see the value of repentance. They will see the value of obedience. They will see, amen, what it really means if we return to God. God will return to us. If we draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to us. How will we know? Will we get a liver shiver on Sunday morning? Will we get some kind of unique spiritual experience? I'll tell you how you'll know. You'll know. Listen, if you get all of that and your prayers aren't answered, we still can't bear witness, amen, to the truth about God. But if our prayers begin to be answered, then this testimony occurs to those who see it. Who has a God like their God, a God so nigh them in all that they call upon Him for? They pray, God listens, God responds, God helps, God heals, God delivers, God sets free, God meets the need. Well, our time is, it's unbelievable, but our time is almost gone today. Friend, there's a prayer that God always hears without exception. And it's the prayer from someone who wants their sins forgiven and is coming to Jesus, repenting of our sin and calling upon Him that the blood of Christ may be applied to our life. And today that prayer is not based on any of these other principles. Sin is the separator. The blood of Jesus reconciles us. It bridges the gap, the great chasm that sin has created between fallen man and a holy God. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I pray that you will pray this prayer, that God will answer. The Bible said on the day of Pentecost, after the Spirit of God fell upon that 120 and came into our fallen world, as many as shall call upon the name of the Lord from that point forward shall be saved. Our friend, call upon Him today. Get forgiven. Get pardoned. Get cleansed. And get close to God. And then pray and call upon Him in the time of trouble and have His deliverance come and His help come. If you're a Christian today, there's nothing wrong with getting right with God. Let's get these things out of the way so that God can come through and that God can be glorified. Well, our time is gone. Will you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.